And Inspired Church is, it's a church fellowship that I met Don Lake through a sort of a gathering of pastors and whatnot, and immediately just had a connection with him. And it was a connection around sort of what God is doing in their fellowship and our fellowship. Now, here's the thing, guys. One of the things that we have to do in this season, because we're in a transition season, one of the things we have to do that we must do is we need to make sure our identity is proper and established in Christ. Now, that's our identity as a church. And that's what Don and myself have been talking a lot about. David's going to speak to us about this morning. But also our identity as individuals. So here's the thing. We've taken kind of a sidebar for probably a couple months now, since really the beginning of the year. And I don't know how long it's going to go on, but we're speaking to identity. Why did we just get done spending, 2 months talking about the 1 Corinthians 12 manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit? Because education creates expectation. Okay, you come to church, some of you come to church thinking, oh, I wonder, how they're going to entertain me today. I wonder what I'm going to hear today. The reality is we want to create an expectation for what you do when you go out those doors. I want my walk with the Lord to look like Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I want my walk to look like the book of Acts. We see people healed in this fellowship. I'm trying to remember the last time a week has gone by that we haven't seen someone healed. I'm thankful for that. We are seeing words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy spoken over people on an amazingly consistent basis. We're getting prophetic insight as to what we're supposed to do as a church. And God is telling us, we need to know who we are. We travel through this walk as, sort of a term that I think I borrowed from David originally, as an apostolic company. Seeing apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers established to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. What's my role in that? What's your role in that? There's been misnomers. We have misidentified people in the body of Christ. But we're getting our identity straight. So this morning, David's just, he's going to just come to us and just sort of speak to us, continuing on this subject. And you may say, Scott, you're beating a dead horse. You're flogging us with this. You're right. And I'm going to keep do it. I'm just going to do it and do it and do it. And you know why I'm going to do it? I'm going to do it until you stop introducing me to people as Pastor Scott. Then I'll know you've gotten it. Okay? Because Scott ain't a pastor. We need to know who we are, guys. If you know the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are available to you, guess what you're going to do? You're going to step out. If you know what the Lord wants to do with a church, God is going to, one of the things that David often says, he says that fivefold ministry, those apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they create space for one another. You know what I'm saying? They create space for one another. And I'm just gonna let him take that, because he's got some awesome insight on this that is just gonna continue to add a piece to that jigsaw puzzle that God is giving us as a church. Amen. So please, warm welcome for Pastor Dave.
Thank you. Whew. I think we just about have an altar call and say, Amen, Jesus. Isn't it good? Isn't it good to be here? Yes. Amen? We send greetings from Inspired Church in Taupo, and Don and Helen in particular wanted to say hi. So I just really appreciate the opportunity to be able to be here today. It's my gorgeous wife, Kim, one of my handsome sons, and my other two have escaped on me. They must have decided they didn't want to listen to Dad. But that's cool. I started this journey with Scott at the meeting that he spoke about, when we got the privilege to be able to pray for a whole lot of different cities. And Rotorua was represented there by Scott and John, was it?
Yeah.
John from Living Well? Was that the two of you? Yeah. And I'm the one who gave away his black jacket. And I prophesied over Scott that God was placing in a mantle of apostleship on this man. That's a huge, huge thing. And it's loaded with a whole lot of stuff that hopefully I can unpack a little bit for you today. And hopefully demystify a little bit for you today. So you can actually go, there's a normal person living in the grace of God for their lives. Because that's the key that you need for each of us. For all of us to understand is that I'm normal. Well, as normal as I can ever be. You realize that normal is a function on the washing machine. And the only normal that there ever was before Adam and Eve sinned. Otherwise, we're actually all abnormal. So I'm as normal as I can be, living out of the grace of God that's on my life. And that's all that we can ever be, is just try to be authentically who we are, but messed up, broken up, and or whatever, or just not all together at times. But living in the grace of God. Because see, the grace of God takes away the judgment of your failures. The grace of God sets you free from the pressure of saying, I've got to have something together. Because I've got news for you, you don't have to and you can't, so relax. You know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That means that it's his righteousness, not yours. So you can be as stuffed up as you are. It doesn't matter because God can still minister his grace through you. God is ministering his grace through me, not because I've got my life together and that I don't stuff up or anything. I do. I'm human. Not excusing it, just acknowledging it. But I'd understand that the ability of God's grace isn't dependent upon my own goodness. It's based upon the goodness of Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad he's good. He is perfectly good in every way. Amen. So, you know, you can take those weights off you right now in Jesus' name. If anybody's all walking around going, can I really be set free and just walk in the liberty of God? I've got news for you. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I got this picture. You know, Kerry, isn't it? I don't know. Have you watched Avengers? Sure. Excellent. So, you know the bit with the Hulk? And he gets to Loki at Stark's tower. And Loki says, you can't do that. I'm a god. I'm this. I'm that. And going ranting and raving like a stupid idiot. And the Hulk just, what the heck? Just goes up to him and goes, doo, 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 doo. Just pummels the guy. I love that scene. Yeah, yeah? And I love this line afterwards. He walks away and goes, puny god. Man, you're the Hulk. You know, God has got Hulkness in you. You know, let the green come out, man. Let the green machine show. Let the greatness of God show. Okay, because I believe there's something in you that will just show how puny some people's thinking of God is. If you'll just stand and believe and just let some things sometimes, no way, man, I'm going to just hold on to God right now. Because there's Hulkness in you. God Hulkness. Yeah? Yeah, the Hulkster. But stand in that. And you know, it's not based upon whether you get gamma radiation or anything else. It's based upon Jesus Christ in you. Because I think there's strength in you. I see that God sees and says in you, there's strength in you that I've placed in you. You don't believe in a puny God. Start to believe big things. Expect to do powerful things. Yeah? Amen? Amen. Righty. So anyway, I prophesied over Scott. And so one of the things that you're going to discover that I function out of two, and you'll understand this more, we've got apostolic company at work. That's the phrase that we give it at Inspire, and Limitless Training Center is the training center that I head up at Inspire, and it's the language I guess we've put to it. Others can put other names to it. It really doesn't matter. The thing is that it's based upon Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, that God or Christ gave gifts to his church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? To equip the church. And it goes on. We'll dig into this a little bit, okay? So I function prophetically or as a prophet, not just prophetically. So when we talk about a prophet, we're not talking about somebody who just prophesies. Paul says, I wish that you all would prophesy. And so I'll declare that over your life. I wish that you would all prophesy and hear the word of the Lord for people. To encourage them and to build. Why? Because he says it will build one another up. To edify them. And yet there is something different that Paul is talking about when he says, let there be prophets, let there be apostles, let there be evangelists. And so on Scott is a what we would call an ascension gift of apostleship on his life. And so I function, and Pastor Don has that. Well, we say Pastor Don, but it's funny. I said, we shouldn't, just like you, should we say Pastor Don or Apostle Don? Then somebody put on Facebook, dinosaur with Don's face on it, says Apostle Don. Sounded so prehistoric. Sorry, Don. So, it does seem strange, doesn't it? But the thing is that we've got to get into our thinking that God is reestablishing something in his church. See, the early church had apostles. They had prophets. They had evangelists. Just read Acts. I'm not speaking anything foreign here. Okay? And they had pastors. And they definitely had teachers. Paul was a teacher, but then he came into apostleship. Barnabas and Silas were prophets, but they came into apostleship as well. Philip was an evangelist. Then we've got, Matthew and John and James and all, the apostles, the 12 of them. We clearly see the Bible actually said that this is how God established his church. And yet somewhere, somehow, we've lost all of that. And then we got into eventually getting out of that Roman Catholic mindset of Pope, Cardinals, Archbishops, Bishops, however else it goes, to the Reformation and then different movements, including the establishment of the Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist churches, where it was understood that there was actually somebody that needed to be able to nurture or pastor or look after a flock of people. Who knows, we need pastors. I need pastoring. I'm not an ascension ministry pastor like my wife. She makes people feel incredibly safe. Sometimes people still just don't know what to make of me, and that's okay. I don't know what to make of myself sometimes. But, the thing is that we all need pastors. But over the years, what's happened is that we've established pastorship. And then the Pentecostal revivals in 1904 and 1905 in Wales and in America still walked with that model of saying, here's a pastor. And they still shepherded their flock, and yet God was rejuvenating and bringing life to something again. And today we still have, unfortunately, this idea of a church with or without its steeple or whatever, and saying this is where a congregation of Christians come together in community of faith, and the senior leader is Pastor Scott. And you know what that does? It says that there's a track record of history of how that should look. So when we say we are a church and we have a pastor, suddenly we default and says he should teach me. He should really care about me. And if he doesn't acknowledge and care for me, he is a slack pastor and I'm leaving now. Now, how many people have thought that way sometimes? Well, you know people that have done that because they've looked to the senior leader who is mostly not a pastor. And in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, we reestablished the evangelist. So we understood the pastor, we understood the evangelist. And then in the 90s and through, we start to see the prophetic coming to the fore again. So we understand prophets to some degree. We know that there's people who are prophetic, but we don't understand the office of the prophet so well. We don't understand the office or the ascension ministry of the evangelist. So we can have pastors that are evangelists. They're great at seeing people get saved. They're great at driving their church forward. And, if you want one word that will define an evangelist, it's called activity. They'll activate you and keep you busy for the rest of your life until Jesus comes again. Because there's unsaved people out there. While there's unsaved people out there, the evangelists will keep you busy. Amen? And we need them because, if we just stuck around with pastors, we'd feel nice and cozy and safe and we'd want to stay safe. And okay, because that's what pastors do so well. And you do nothing. Unless they came to you. And then you might get a fright. What do I do with them now? I'll mentor them. So we need that. But I think that now that That stereotype of church has just got to go. It's like a playground, fenced, rubber mats, don't climb on this or don't jump on this. And, you know, we have the clear expectation of how church should be when we think about it in that mindset and to that model. I think God is bringing back to his church apostolic company. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers working together to establish God's church. Not any one of them being better than the other, just being different. We'll talk about a little bit of that difference today. And you know what? That's sort of like putting out an open playing field, man. That's just like saying, let's just chuck down all these play gym things and, you know, the slide and the swing, and let's get rid of the fence and the mat, and let's just say there's an open paddock. Oh, flip, what do I do with that? How do I walk even through that gate? What if there's a bull in there? I'm wearing red. Oh, you know, what do you do? You know, and so a lot of people just aren't sure about how to approach this whole thing about what is it to have an apostolic company functioning. But the one thing that's got to get broken down is this traditional stereotype of a church with a steeple with a pastor. It needs to have a pastor in it, but it doesn't necessarily have to have a pastor leading it. And you'll free yourself up, and you'll free up Scott and anybody else that starts to emerge into Ascension Ministry a whole lot more if you can start to understand they've got to be that. That's the grace of God on their lives. Yeah? Got to flow out of the grace of God that's on your life. So let's just read that verse. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So there's number one thing that they do. For building up the body of Christ, there's number two. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, there's number three. And the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, there's number four. If you want to know what Ascension Ministries will do, what apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers will do, they'll do those four things to you. They'll equip you. They will get it in order, build you up, they'll bring you to maturity, and they'll bring you to unity. And we're going to talk about those four things briefly. Okay? So this is what they'll do to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Because that's God's goal, is that we would be like him. Yeah? I believe that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are called not just in the church, to function in the church. They're called to function for the church. So it's not just about their ministry and what they carry and how they do it. They're doing it not just for certain people or for themselves because it's the grace of God that's on their life. They're not just doing it because they can. They're doing it because actually they're doing it for the church, for the church. You can see people doing things and say, yeah, I can do this in the church. I can serve here. I can do this. But, you know, I really believe the Ascension Ministries, apostolic company, isn't there just for to be in the church. They're there for the church. So it's more than just about themselves. These callings are gifts from Christ to his church. So imagine with me for a moment. If I was to, who wants an iPhone? It was there, sitting there. Sorry, Scott. Anybody up for a iPhone? There you go, Gilbert. Now imagine my son now, being the only one bold enough there to take Scott's phone. I presume it's got a password on it. More than one. Excellent. He's encrypted it. You know, we can get something given to us, but if we do nothing with it, is the gift any good to us? You can get amazing gifts given to you, but if they're still wrapped up or unused, are they of any use to you? Absolutely not. So, sorry, Gilbert, that phone is no use to you because, as you've already worked out, you don't know the code. So, it's the same with Christ giving to his church these gifts. Called apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. What's the use of us? What's the use of them if you don't actually let them function? If you don't even avail yourself of them? You can go, that's really nice, Apostle Scott, that's really nice. Prophet Dave or Teacher Dave or whatever, that's really nice. You can have your nice little wee corner, but if you there, we are here, Christ has given gifts to his church to do something for you. It's not because we're better. It's not because we got it more together. It's because Christ has graced us and says, I'm raising up these ministries to do something for you, for my church. Remember, this isn't our church. This is his church. Yeah? So when we reject God, let's put it this way. We reject God's purpose for our lives when we reject his gifts. You will not get the full impact and the full benefit of what God wants to invest into your life if you can't start to grapple with the whole idea of apostolic company, of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and how they can interact and strengthen your life. So first of all, they're meant to equip us. The Greek word there is katatismos. I think I'm not very good on Greek, but that will do for me. And that means to be perfecting you. To equip you, to perfect you, to the phrase fine-tuning you. When they equip you, they're going to speak into your life at times because why? They're going to fine-tune something that God's doing in your life. They're not going to tell you that you're hopeless. Hope not, anyway. But they will actually say, come on, you're in the right direction. Let's champion this. Let's tweak this a little bit. You'll be doing really good. You won't just get to share the gospel. You'll see somebody weeping right in front of you sort of thing maybe, you know. Well, somebody turning up to you and says, what must I do to be saved? That's an evangelist's dream come true. Yeah? They're to bring us to maturity. They're to mature us. It's teleos. To bring to completion. God knows that there is ministries and gifts that he's placed in his church to bring people to completion. To complete something that which God has begun in you is going to require it sometimes rubbing up with these people and letting them speak into you. Letting them adjust you at times to bring you to completion. They're to unify us. It's the Greek word, henotes, I don't know how else to pronounce it, but means literally undivided. Now, if you read James chapter 1, verse 5, it says that any man or woman that lacks wisdom, ask God and he'll give it to him liberally as long as he doesn't doubt. Because if he one who doubts or doesn't believe, don't expect him to get anything from God. Why? Because he's divided within himself. So here's the thing. Ascension Ministries or Apostolic Company will bring you to unify something in you that gets rid of that dividedness within yourself. Because they'll keep you undivided. They'll get that double-mindedness out of you. You know that she loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. Well, that's being double-minded. You know, I'm called by God, I'm not. I think I stuffed it up. Oh, I think God forgave me. He loves me. I'm not so sure to, you know, undivided. Should be that to say that I can stand firm, unified within my heart. Undivided, not divided in our thinking, not double-minded. And they build us up. Oikodom. Built for a purpose. Other words, architecturally designed. You know what? You're not stock issue. Aren't you glad about that? I am. I teach the way that Dave Jepson was made, and I prophesy the way Dave Jepson was made. I hear from God the way that God made me to hear from him. I'm architecturally designed, with a few additions along the way. But you are. You are unique. Look at your thumbprint. Look at your DNA. You are architecturally designed. You are built up into something for a purpose. Not for an accident. You're not built for a Chernobyl. You're not built for a Fukushima, you know, nuclear meltdown. You're built for power. You're built for a purpose. You're not an accident. And God has designed and wants to build you up for a purpose. Yeah? And that's what Ascension Ministries will do. Interesting thing is that Paul then goes into verse 16 and he starts to actually unwrap or describe this a little bit. He says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So the whole body, joined and held together, is the unity. So we do this together. We do this in community. Yeah? The Lone Ranger even had Tonto, so that's a real oxymoron already. He's not the Lone Ranger, really, is he? You know? And neither can you be. And understanding that the whole body is joined and held together, that's unity, undivided, for a purpose, for that which God has set you here for. With which it is equipped. Well, there you go. He's given these gifts to equip us. Well, this is why we're equipped. When each part is working properly. When things work properly, we're mature. When things don't work properly, you're immature. You're incomplete. And so Paul's already describing when things work properly, there's maturity in the house. Yeah? I'm not talking about technology. That can stuff up any time. And then makes the body grow so that it builds. Building them up makes it grow so that it builds. So it builds people up. We need to be built up. I don't know about you, but I need encouragement. I need to be spoken into. I need to be built up. Dave Jepson needs help. I hope I'm not the only one in this room who believes that. And so I need Ascension Ministry speaking into my life to build me up. Because I don't know about you, but I want to fulfill God's purpose for my life, for my generation. Yeah? Here's another interesting thought. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every perfect gift comes from above. And Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4 that Christ has given what? Gifts to his church. Every perfect gift comes from heaven. So it's got part of God's perfect plan. Well, not that I subscribe to that phrase entirely as it's said, but in the sense of that God has perfectly placed people to bow to, equip people, to establish them, to build them up, to bring them to maturity. It's God's gift to us. We need to open the gift. We need to open up our heart to that gift. So now I'm going to try and help you along with... Oh, I didn't check that. Oh, it's happened? Excellent. So I'll move out of the way of that. So I'm a better door than a window, and I'd want you to see it. So what I want to touch on today, I've only got four more points after this. This is point number one. So we're doing good. We're going to be finished soon. Is that okay? And then I'm going to prophesy over you, and then we can go home and make more room. I call this marital spread, by the way. I refuse to call it middle age spread, though I'm old enough to be middle aged possibly, but never mind, I live in denial. So you understand, I'm functioning as a teacher with you right now. I'm teaching God's word and I'm teaching the principles of Apostolic Company or Ascension Ministries. Okay? So first and foremost, we'll look at the apostle. So we're looking at, in this case, Scott. So what's his ministry function? What's it going to look like? Well, to bring clarity and authority for God's purpose for the church, quite simply. So he's going to function with a spiritual gift of leadership that goes with that, and he's going to get clarity about what God's doing and speak that with authority. That's what apostles do. They can get up your nose sometimes, they can really irritate you, and they can rub you up, but that's okay. Get used to it and just let God speak through them, because they're not prophesying at you. They're actually talking out of the apostolic gift that's on their life. Now, I'm going to come to this in a minute, because it talks about apostles and prophets, that the church is built upon that foundation. I'm going to address that a little bit for you as well, so as you understand that and see how that works. But how do they deal with revelation? Now, that's an interesting question, because that's different to how they function. Because how they function is as diverse as the individual, but the revelation that will flow out of them is going to have some key aspects to it. And what I mean by that is God speaks, or you're getting some indication from God about something, and they go, I know what to do with that. A common phrase from Don, and if Scott will have his own language for it, but it is, I know what to do with that. I prophesy, says, I don't know what to do with that. And Don turns around and says, I know exactly what to do with that. That's called apostleship. That's dealing with revelation. Why? Because they can apply wisdom to prophetic revelation. I prophesied over somebody in the first night of Limitless and said something to her, and I said, you know what? At the end of it, I says, I have no idea what that means. And Don turns around and says, I know what that means, and we'll talk later. She's on staff now. You know, so there's a spiritual gift of wisdom that you should come with and needs to come with apostleship. Why? Because they've got to be able to discern and apply the revelation of God. And that's what they do. They, when it comes to revelation, they apply wisdom to that. They also create space for ministry opportunities in people's lives. I've put that as a revelation thing. Why? Because here's the reality. Scott can be walking around and he might hear something or pray for somebody or just think about somebody and go, got to make space for that. There's got to be room for that ministry, for that gift. Sometimes some people will say, I just don't know how I can express what God's put in my heart. If there's spiritual gift of apostleship and wisdom operating in their life, they'll say, I know what to do with that. I can make space for that.
I think it's also timing, David.
Yeah, it's understanding timing, but it's understanding how you can make room for a gift. And there's timing with that, but there's just understanding how you can just fit one more into an expression of who they are and what they're doing. And so there's wisdom that comes with that, and they deal with revelation that way. And there's real authority that needs to come with that. I'm going to come back to them in a minute, but at the same time, I'm going to move us forward. Ah! Or is somebody else doing it for me? Shall I just leave that alone and just cue you?
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
That's okay, I don't mind. Doesn't bother me. So, ministry function, to bring a sense of destiny and the awe of God to the church. In other words, they should leave you gobsmacked. I had one lady in our church say to me, Dave, you're just so, what's the word? Sometimes, I think she was trying to correct me, but it didn't actually work out, it encouraged me. You're so in their face and you just leave people just, they just don't know what's going to come out of your mouth sometimes, and you just leave them gobsmacked. And I walked away and thought, well, isn't that what prophets should do? Leave them gobsmacked and go, God just spoke, you know? And wow, how did he know that? You know? Yeah. So they bring that sense of destiny and awe of God to the church. But how do they deal with revelation? They turn the lights on. Quite simple. And also to seeing problems and situations with God's solution. Sometimes there's a prophetic word or statement. I can either be praying with Don or talking with them. Sometimes I just outright prophesy in front of him. And I actually told him I prophesied over somebody. He just about burst into tears, gave me a hug and says, I know what to do with somebody now. I just had a problem and I didn't know what to do. You just told me what you prophesied over them. He says, I'm sweet. Problem solved. Actually, I heard him go into another office and he didn't talk quietly enough and telling Helen the same thing. I had this problem, now I know what to do. So he applied what? Apostolic wisdom to some revelation. Yeah. Now here's the thing. If there's anybody here that is developing into a prophetic gift, and more than just a gift. So here's the thing. I wish that all of you would prophesy. But there are few that will become prophets. Maybe only one in this room. Maybe two or three. I don't know. But here's the thing. Prophet is different to prophesying because of what you carry and how it goes. So for me, I take the view that I turn on the lights. Now, my lesson, object lesson on this for anybody that's sensing something on their heart, maybe in regard to the prophetic, is Genesis chapter 1. It says, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens of the earth. And the earth was, amazingly, without void and without form. How weird was that when God made everything else perfectly fine before them? And the Spirit of God hovered across the waters, the word says. Then it says, God said, let there be light. Do you realize that's not the sun and the moon? That happened 2 or 3 days later. So what was the light? Obviously, God didn't have a vision problem. What was the light? The light was God revealing himself and his purpose. He's saying, here I am, and I'm now going to give something form. And I really believe that when you get the prophetic really moving powerfully, it turns on lights. It just starts to speak to something. But you know what? They're not the one who then tells you what that word should look like and how it's going to be fulfilled. I believe that God gave light, then he gave form. And I believe that's where the apostolic gift comes in with that wisdom factor. You get prophetic words from a prophet spoken. The apostle will give it form. Things are then created in people's lives. Why? Because they speak to it. Now, sometimes when Don and I are ministering, I prophesy and he functions apostolically. If you don't understand what's going on, you could think Dave prophesied, then Don prophesied on top of it and just backed it all up. No, he's speaking apostolically to it. But it sounds like that sometimes. Why? Because he is now giving it form. He's starting to give it some direction and traction into a person's life, giving it shape. God turned on the lights. He said, let there be light. Then he gave things form. You know what? I really believe that we need to start to grasp that reality in our hearts again, that God speaks and then comes form. He turns on the light, then comes the form. Allow the form of God, the creation of God, to be released in you. Even as people just start to function as a prophet and turn on lights, and then apostolically somebody starts to speak into that. Open up your heart to it. Because I think you'd be amazed at what God will create in you and through you. Right, can we go to the next one, please? Oh, you're there. Excellent. You're amazing. So, the evangelist. Now, we all know about evangelists, don't we? Let's dim the light, slope the floor, roll on down to Jesus. You know, there's surely got to be somebody unsaved or backslidden here, and I'm going to get you into heaven. You know, and if they're amongst a bunch of Christians that don't want to do a lot and aren't doing a lot to reach the lost, they'll give you a good kick up the backside, won't they? They'll encourage you. They'll make you feel uncomfortable sometimes. I actually don't believe the prophetic will incredibly make you feel uncomfortable, but evangelists can. Why? Because they're incredibly active about and intentional about the gospel and about evangelism and about the lost. And if you're not doing a lot, you should feel uncomfortable around evangelists. That's what they should do to you to some degree. They should stir it up a little bit. Make it a little messy. I think the messiest lot are the evangelists, to be honest. You know, but we need them. So that's how they function. They activate the church to reach the lost. But how do they bring revelation? Because now we've had apostles and prophets bringing foundational stuff. What's that? Turning on the lights and giving something form. But how do these guys start to deal with revelation? To begin with, they start to understand what God's doing and saying and how they can bring about to see the increase that, to increase the capacity of the church to reach people. Old language was is that they'd raise the water table of evangelism. But they'll see ways, maybe even second bit, discernment of what is restricting the church in regard to the lost, in regard to reaching the lost. They'll discern that. They'll know what's affecting either people's lives or the life of the church that's just holding in evangelism, that's stopping it from happening. When you've got an evangelist dealing with revelation, they'll start to discern that and identify that. And so when you're talking with them, and even as an apostle, it's sort of like, so we're just not seeing many getting saved. We're not even seeing many miracles. We're just not seeing much impact in the community. And the evangelist says, and this is the revelation on this one, you know. Or this is how God's stirring my heart. I'm getting discernment about that. And then the apostle can respond to that, or the prophet may then start speaking to that as well. Or sometimes the prophet will speak and the evangelist will go, I know what that's about. And we're just missing something here in regard to the work of evangelism in the church. We need evangelists. We need evangelists discerning these things, because sometimes we're just not aware. Yeah? Pastors. They make people feel safe and okay. They'll just love you into the kingdom. They will just, you'll pour your heart out to an ascension ministry pastor or somebody with a high capacity pastoral heart in their lives. You'll just find yourself pouring your heart out to them. You just won't even find it hard. I had a friend of mine who's still working out some of his journey with God again, but he has clients, and sometimes he has his clients turn into blubbering messes in front of him. And I says, that's because you've got a high capacity pastoral gift in your life, because people actually feel safe and okay to do this in front of you, or to share their heart with you. Or they've got ways of just drawing it out of them. I watched it last night with another guy that I know that's just huge capacity for pastoral in his heart. And he just opened up this guy like you wouldn't believe. And I'm sitting there going, watching this going, I am amazed. There's just no way on this planet I would have even got that far. But he did. and totally opened up this guy. And I just got, I had the privilege to watch the whole thing happen. It was really exciting. But it wasn't me. You know, it just wasn't me. But, you know, so they cares for the needs, or for the people and their needs. They understand the pulse of the people around them. My approach has been, as in the past, has been, if you want to really know what's happening with people around you, go get the pastor, because they've already got their fingers on the pulse. And I can't find mine, so I must be dead. Honey, can you get my pulse now? You know, they'll know. So how's so-and-so doing? If pastoral people are interacting with them, they'll know. They'll understand it. They would have actually got it out of them without even trying very hard. I mean, it's hard work sometimes. To me, it would be a lot easier if just God gave me a prophetic word and I could just answer it and just say, look, there's your problem, there's your answer. Go sort it out with God and get on with it. That's really merciful, isn't it? Aren't you glad I'm not your pastor right now? But you know what? We need pastors. Yeah? Genuine pastors. And what do? They increase the capacity of the church to keep people. What do I mean by that? Quite simply, people will stick around when they know that they're loved. And they know that they're loved not by what you pretend to say or what you say, but by what you do. And pastors will do the do. And people will stick around when they know that they're cared for. Yeah? So pastoral gifts will keep people connected into what God is doing. And we need them. We need ascension ministries of these. And what are they going to do? They're going to discern the needs within the community and how to respond. Because Acts chapter 2 verse 42 to 47 says that the early church had a church that didn't have needs. They had needs that were being met continually. And I can assure you it's because they had people that had a pastoral gift that knew how to minister to that need. And it wasn't just financial, it's emotional, physical, mental, whatever it may be. Pastors can help with that. You know, sometimes people talk about evangelists and say, oh, they're like the ambulance at the bottom of the hill and saying, turn or burn, baby. You know, get right with Jesus, you know. Come on, let's just get, you know, pick up. No, they're at the top of the hill trying to say, just don't fall over. You know who's down at the bottom of the hill? The pastors. Picking up all the broken pieces. You know, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And who did Humpty Dumpty need? Not all the king's men and all the king's horses. He needed a pastor. And you know, it's the pastor that's going to be where you've fallen. Don't know about you, but I need pastors. And then ascension ones that can discern that, can do that at great capacity. And you know, don't get me wrong. In all these gifts, people can function not as ascension, but they can have an aspect of that in their lives. It's okay. We have people that are pastoral in heart. They may not be ascension ministry pastors. That's okay. And I'm only talking about five gifts. The Bible talks about 26 or 27 spiritual gifts, and that's just another topic altogether again. So don't feel excluded here. I'm trying to help you with your journey as a church to understand the ascension ministries in particular. So what do teachers do? Well, quite simply, they teach people. Go figure. The Greek word for it is didasko. In other words, to give instruction. And so, you know, you're not going to get a lot of inspiration out of a teacher all the time. But you get a good idea of just how things happen and how things work and what God's word's got to say about it. But they teach you not necessarily what to believe, but how to believe God's word. When they teach God's word in such a way that you go, man, I could do that. I could believe that. That just makes sense. That's God's word just explained to me in such easy ways. You know, it's just that simple. That's cool. Teachers do that sort of thing. And I tell you what, we need teachers that can teach the word of God. I know at Hillsong, anybody watch Hillsong with Brian Houston on TV? Pretty big auditorium. I heard once that when their teaching pastor was rostered on and people knew, they had to put extra seats out. I kid you not. And Brian Houston's a good preacher. But when the teaching pastor got out, they put out more seats. Figure that one out. That's why, because we need to be taught how to believe God's word. So what's their revelation function? Well, they bring truth to the church. See, in Inspire and through Limitless, I carry teacher as a gift. Why? Because I carry truth about apostolic company. An apostolic community. I find myself articulating it and giving it language. I can write with Don the curriculum for Limitless and about apostolic company, about some of the stuff that we've talked about. I kid you not. First session, and Don helped me write it, supported me with the whole thing. He couldn't get a pen fast enough by the time I started teaching. Light bulbs, revelation was happening in his life, and he's going, need more paper. Why? Because of the environment of what will happen when you've got a teacher around them. So they bring truth to church, they carry truth to the church, and then they are to increase the capacity of the church to be equipped. Teachers will equip you. They can't help themselves. They'll tell you the best way to change a light bulb. You know, and if you've got a good teacher around you, they're going to teach you about light bulbs. And some of it you'll go, yeah, I know that one, that's cool. And other times you go, well, that's an interesting way of changing a light bulb. I'll remember that one, Dave. But that's what they'll do. Because they kind of can't help themselves. I'm kind of like that all the time. I find myself in teacher mode at different times. Why? Because I just can't help myself. But then I know that I've got to help people to know how to change light bulbs. And how to believe God's word. And how to know that it's relevant for them. So I hope that this has helped you in regard to the essential ministries or the fivefold ministries to understand apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers and how they kind of work together. You've got to have revelation happening. As they gather together, revelation should flow. Yeah? And then the apostle, I believe, is the one who's going to know how to give that a lot of form. But each gift has got its place of discerning things and speaking into things. Why? Because we need those gifts to function. Why? Because we need them to get into our lives. Because Christ says, this is my gift to you. Don't reject this gift. Whether you say Apostle Scott all the time or not, because some people go, what did you just say? But the important thing is that you've got to understand the grace of God on this man's life. And let him be that. And there's going to be others here. There's going to, I don't know, I understand you prophesy a bit, Jeremy. Prophetic edge to you. So if there's a prophet in you, then there's a relationship that's going to have to be really strong with how that deals with revelation, because it says the church is built upon this foundation. So become really good at turning on lights. If God's growing that gift in your life, learn how to just turn on the light. Don't explain your words. Don't tell everybody what they're going to look like, because I just think that's bad prophetic ministry. Should just turn on the lights and let the revelation flow. Amen? And maybe there's somebody here who's a budding evangelist. Well, grow into that. And let this man give you space to see where that happens and how that gets expressed. Same with pastoral and teacher. We need those, and we need them in ascension ministry capacity. Well, believe that the grace of God and the wisdom of God is on this man to be able to release that, to see that happen in ascension ministry, but in every other ministry that we have and every other gift that we have, God wants to see that released. And I really believe that the best person for that is an apostle. So there ends that bit of the lesson, but I do have a word for you as a church. So I'm going to share this and then see where we go from there. How's that sound, Scott? Excellent. So, here's what I believe. So, excuse a piece of teacher, I guess, coming into this, but here's a prophetic word to you. That I believe that God breathes on something, then he commissions something, then he empowers something. I can see that in the early church, because Jesus breathed on the disciples and they received the Holy Spirit. That was not Pentecost, by the way. This is before he went. Okay? So, God breathes on things. So I'm saying I believe God has breathed on you. We go to then Matthew chapter 28. God commissioned his church. I believe you're in commissioning. God has placed a commission on you. And I believe that Pentecost, God empowered that commission. I believe that you're coming into the empowerment of what God wants to see released in and through you. Now, I'm just turning on the light. I'm going to let the apostle give that form. I'm not going to tell you what that means in every regard. I don't believe that's my job. But here's what I want to encourage you with. God has breathed on you. God is now commissioning you. Expect to believe that you're going to see the power of God demonstrated through you as a church, not just individuals. I'm saying this for the church. Here's the other take, if you don't mind me taking on just one more thing. So there's the word. But here's the invitation. There's obviously something here that the church can grapple with as a leadership, but maybe one of you or some of you here are saying, "Whew, I wish you'd just breathe on me." God wants to breathe on you today because he wants to place purpose into your life so that you can know the power of God in and through your life. I'm taking this now from the corporate of the whole sense of this church to individuals. Maybe you've sensed that God's breathing something and there's hope and there's vision happening inside of you, but you just don't know what to do with it. And you're just saying, "God, what is this for?" Then you're in a place where maybe you need to respond and say, "God, maybe you want to come forward, get breathed on," because you're just saying, "I'm just not even getting anything from God right now." Well, maybe you know that God's breathing on something, but what is he commissioning me to? Well, then hear from God. Let him commission you. And if you already know that he's breathed on you and you already know that you're commissioned in some sort of sense on your life about something, then start to say, "God, well, when are you going to empower this? When are you going to do something in and through me?" Because I believe that God wants to breathe on people today. He wants to commission people today and he wants to empower people today. And if that's you, then respond to Jesus and say yes to Jesus. Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. I'll place a little bit of form on that. I think there's more coming, and I think it's just a reiteration of kind of where the trajectory of what God's doing in us is heading. The first thing I think that needs to be understood is I understand, please believe me, I understand my own lack pastorally. I think that's a surprise to some of you, okay? But I understand my idea is, as you guys come to me and say, "I'm hurting," my thing is, it's like, look, rub some dirt in it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, just you got to just put some dirt in it, man. You know, it's like, let's get on with the mission. But one of the things I realize is that there are shepherds within the congregation. And I think because I stand up here and people say, "Oh, Pastor Scott," there's a sort of an idea in our heart that says, "I need to go to the shepherd. I need to go to the pastor." And sometimes when you do, you're like, I assume that's Scott, and you're let down. And I apologize for that. But one of the things that my wife and I, and I've been talking to some of the leaders about a little bit, is trying to make sure that we identify the shepherds so that you know who to go to. Like I say, if you need a problem solved, let's go. I'm all about that. If you need someone just to pour yourself out to and to feel safe, I want you to know who to go to. But you guys got to be willing to receive that. You know what I'm saying? That's how we make space for each other. I love when David shares. I always get nuggets of just revelation from him. But the best part of what David does, I'm just going to tell you this, brother, is you prophesying. Like, that's when I'm always like, "Oh, dude." You know, so what we're going to do is, if the worship team just wants to come up, we're just going to create an opportunity for people to get prayed for. We do this a lot. But this is the time where I want David and Kim, if you could, just to lay hands on people. I tell Kim, she carries power. Can't explain it. I've been blessed by it. But she carries power in her. So it's like, if you guys just want to take the opportunity to let these guys, you know, David has read my mail prophetically. And now some of you are panicking right now. Oh, where's the door? Okay, you know. Let me explain this. Whenever God has prophesied to me, he has never exposed me. Absolute gentleman. He has never exposed me. So I think what we're going to do is we're just going to take an opportunity, as we do here, guys. There's freedom here. If you really feel like you need to leave or to come and to go or whatever, I'm just going to ask David and Kim, just maybe go in the back. Is that cool? And just pray for folks. just let them, you know, we've had, you know, Darren and Lynette were here last week. It was awesome. A lot of you got a word from them. But just to give that opportunity to let these guys speak to your identity. Because as David's saying, when we have this process we're going through of being breathed on, of being commissioned and then being empowered, in that transition between commissioned and empowered, you got to know who you are. We're not a pastor-led church, guys. That's a huge thing for us to understand. But you need to know what your role is in the body of Christ. And when you have that, then we go forward in power and in unity, serving one another.